You might like to open your Bible to Philippians and chapter 2. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are, your day, your time, your work. You have to do what needs to be done. And so we want to be good receptors, God receivers, that we have the benefit. Deal with the many that are sick and all the different things. And our God, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise this morning, knowing for showing, and now knowing for the knowing. And so God has to help us. In the late 40s, when the war had ended, you would hope that there would not be another war, but things changed because of the war, and work, family, all of that was affected. And women went to work, and they didn't, instead of being at home, and all of these different things, it was the beginning of a change. And so if you go look back, and look back at the world then, and you see the world, and the looking for the Lord's coming in the 40s and all of that, and looking for the Lord's return. Now, if you look out the window, the war has ended, and things are trying to get back to normal. So having said that, that's one kind of look. If you come forward in history to just 3 or 4 years ago, it's quite different when you look out the window. Quite different. And things that we read and understood a little bit about in God's word of what was going to happen, were there. We didn't have to read the Bible, didn't have to open it. We could see things out there. And in this short time, in these handful of years and less, things have dramatically changed, awesomely changed. And so the world is changing like that. For many reasons. And as you think of it, you want to remember now, as you're looking, here's the house on top of the land, and the house is the world system, the countries, the nations, the cultures, all of that, conditions, politics, everything, all of that's there. And you look at it, and it's being chipped away and not in good condition. And there's not much we're trying to fix. And add to that, in the foundation, underneath this house, things have been set in place and are being set in place. Major things, crime, sex, family, all of that is deeply rooted now in everything, finances, money, how things are, politic, power, all of that. And you got 2 more years to go. So now that's all underneath the basement. So we're trying to fix and care about what we see on top. But we don't hear a lot about fixing the basement. Changing the basement, and the basement is going to collapse, take and knock that whole house down, because the basement's not in good shape. But not many people, not much is paying attention to the basement. Therefore, we shared last time, foreboding for bad, harmful things. There's another word, foreboding, ominous, foreboding. And we did that because if we aren't at 5 minutes of 12, we're at 6 minutes of 12. How's that? If we aren't at 5, we must be at least 6, minutes of 12. So here we are going down and looking. And all of these things are there, and they aren't good. There is no good thing you can look at concretely, objectively, and have some solutions, not just for the little city you live in, which is very hard, getting harder, but for the world. Everything is connected. It's a global technological conglomerate power. That's no more each country. It's the whole globe in action. And that you can't do much about because it covers all the nations. And we don't control them. We don't control the computers. We don't control the power. We don't control them. So having said that, it's foreboding. I don't see, that's my little window. I just don't know where you're going to see it. And we shared together last time, in the light of the ominous, foreboding world system in which we live, which is very real, no question. And in the process of that, we need to be foreknowing. We need to walk in the light to understand the darkness that is darkening in the world. That makes sense? We need to walk in the light so that the darkening darkness of this world system, we can handle it, because it isn't getting brighter at all. It isn't interested in coming out good. It's headed in one direction. Now, having said that, so in looking where we're going, I have to get you there maybe a little better. So, in the light of that, we shared together God, the Lamb of God slain, Christ died on the cross for every human being that would ever be born. So therefore the plan is to save all human beings from Adam to the end of the millennium. That would be the plan, to save every human being. Human beings didn't want to get saved, and thus the Lamb, and before that, God gave Adam and Eve Genesis 1:28, the rule, to dominate the whole earth, fish, birds, fowl, bugs, everything. They were to be the boss, and be the boss in an awesome, wonderful way. Because, as you know better than I do, the animals back then had to be big fellows, big animals. I mean, the bones. Well, in the ocean, one on the land, Adam and Eve were to be dominant. They were to be the lords. Adam and Eve sinned. They lost that right to rule the world in which they live. God is going to go. Man was meant to rule creation, to show God's marvelous person, as we shared this morning. That's what man is for, to show that. The first Adam sinned and lost it. Satan came in and he took over as the ruler, the God of this world, the prince, the ruler of the power of the air. He's the boss of the whole world system, everywhere. Israel had a right to survive, override, but Israel gave up God as being their king, and they wanted a king, 1 Samuel 8, they wanted a king like the rest of the world. And so they became under, with their idolatry, they lost God's rightful rule, and they ended up like everybody else on planet Earth. And the God of this world, the devil, runs it. And add to that, God, knowing that, Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman will go against the seed of the serpent, etc., the devil. So we've got God working out his amazing saving grace. At the same time, the devil trying to oppose that all the way to the cross. The point is, God meant man to rule. the Lord Jesus Christ is the ruler. He is the Lord. He is the last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45. He's the last Adam, not the second Adam. He's the last one. And he makes possible the saving of all whosoever that would believe. He is going to be, he is the man. The man, the first Adam, lost it. The last Adam, our Lord, puts it back in order. He is the ruler. God meant man to be the ruler, the Son of Man, by way of the Son of God, to be the ruler. Therefore, he went to the cross. So what we're looking at is a great drama of redemption, God's wonderful thing that he's doing, and it's being outworked. So therefore, Philippians, just to remind you, if I can, remember our Lord Jesus, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Think what we did in Sunday school, obedient, unto death, even the death of the cross, Christ the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He is Lord of Lords. That's the whole point. He died, he rose again, and he is the Lord. He is the boss. He is the ruler. The Lamb of God is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is the Lord of Lords. He's the boss forever. He's the man all the way into forever now. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, that's what's being outworked. The devil's rule and God's outworking to show and verify and vindicate. God doesn't need to be vindicated. God's wonderful working that he's the man. There is, and by with Acts 17, don't follow those, 17:31. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God makes it clear. He is the man, verse 31. He is the man that will judge all of the world. The man who rose again is the judge. He's the Lord. Now, if you got that part, we're ready. Over if I can, if in your Bible. Oh, over to Acts, to Isaiah. Isaiah. And what we're looking at, what you know, because we're going to go, we need to understand people in history. We're in history, 5 minutes of 12, make believe, maybe not make believe, 5 minutes of 12. All of the people had the same. We have an advantage that they didn't have, a huge advantage. We're on the doorstep. In the 40s, they weren't on the doorstep. You couldn't even see a United States of Europe. You couldn't even find it. Wow. Now, so here we are. And as we're going, God is going to go, and I'm trying to get you to see, God's going to do something special with Revelation. So I need to get the specialness out of it, into it. So how do we get to see it's special? Isaiah chapter 9, picking up, please, Isaiah 9 and in verse 6. Unto us a child is born. Remember, we just read Philippians. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. and of his increase of the of his government and government and peace, there shall be no end, etc. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. God, the God sent his son to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. He is the governor. He is the king. He is the Lord. That's where the thing is. So it's all being worked out. Now, having said that, over to Isaiah 45. If you, now you have to think, you're going back. If you and I were living years ago, 100 years ago, 400 years ago, 500 years ago, well, they would know all this if they wanted to. Isaiah chapter 45. Picking up, please, in verse 22. We're shortening that. You got the context each time. I'm just trying to hit the target so you can see the movement. Chapter 45, Isaiah, verse 22. Look unto me, I'll read verse 21 to get the, at least the end of it. Tell ye and bring them near, everybody. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared from ancient time, old time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, not just Israel, all the ends of the earth. Why? For I am God, and there is none other. Verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall swear. Now, that's what we just read in Isaiah, in Philippians. He's going to be the Lord. Every knee shall bow. There are. God is going to do his most wonderful thing and be Lord of lords and King of kings in an awesome, awesome way. And he has to work it out. So we know in the light of Daniel 2 and that, the Israel is going to be taken off the shelf because of their unbelief. The Babylon captivity, Babylon comes to the head of gold, Daniel chapter 2, it's a man. And the man, history now you're going to have, his Israel put aside, the Gentiles are in power, and they're going down the corridor of time. So as we go down the corridor of time, as the Gentiles in power, it's all going downhill, not uphill, getting darker. As you go down. So here's Babylon to Media Persia, Persia to Greece, Rome. And in Daniel, you have to turn there, Daniel chapter 2. And what do we end up with? Ten toes. The feet of iron and clay, 10 toes. The ten powers that are going to be in the revived Roman Empire, we're part of. The Europe, somehow in that great conglomerate of 20-30 nations, I guess there are now, 30 of them, with Switzerland and Norway or whatever, and 30, whatever. They're going to be 10 divisions, 10 toes. That's how it's going to go. And then they go against God. And you got in Daniel 7, the wild beast, not domestic, they're wild. And as you go to the animals, lion and all of them, and you come to the verse 7 and 8, a terrible, terrible, terrible beast like you have never seen on earth, a terrible beast, the Antichrist, coming in that beastly form. And that's the fourth nation, only this time we aren't looking at it as a man. We're looking at it as wild beast. And the 10 toes of the man are now, for the illustration God is using, that become 10 horns on the wild beast. 10 horns. And they go against, like the 10 horns, the 10 toes, they go against God. So that's where it's going. That's where it's going down that corridor of time. Now, why is it going there? Go with me. We're coming back to Isaiah, but over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah in chapter 25. And you will note, please, Jeremiah and 25, picking up, if I can, picking up, please, in verse 10. Remember now we did doing Jeremiah on Wednesday, verse 10. Moreover, 25:10. I will take from them the voice. This is Israel is going to be put aside. God is going to have Nebuchadnezzar level the temple. So it isn't good news for them. But verse 10. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones, in other words, business, the normal business of a city, and the light of the candle, in other words, the normal way we handle day and night, our general living. Verse 11. And the whole land shall be desolate and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. So God makes, when God puts them up, God puts the nation on top, allows it to go on top. And now but Babylon isn't going to stay on top. They're going to try to be revived, Revelation 17, 18. Verse 12. It shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord. Why are you going to punish them? For their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it perpetual desolation. What's happening? Well, the land is going to go, and it's the treatment of Israel. How these nations that are given dominance over Israel, they treat Israel, and they all go down the hill. To see that again, Zechariah, and in chapter 1. Zechariah in chapter 1, you'll see it. If I can, picking up, please. Oh, remember now we're looking at the God is going to say the same thing that you had in Daniel 2 and Daniel 7 with the man and the beast. Now he's going to do it in a different way to say it. And he's going to say in verse 17, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, though my cities, though through prosperity, shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Then lifted up mine eyes, and saw, and behold, four horns. Remember the four horns. Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome. I saw four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What be these? And he answered me, these are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. In other words, how you treated Israel after you took them over, you didn't treat them good. You clobbered them. Therefore, verse 20, and the Lord showed me four carpenters. In other words, Babylon is going to be defeated by Media Persia. The horn becomes a carpenter, and they're going to go, and the Media Persia is going to be defeated by Greece, and Greece is going to be defeated by Rome. Each one, no, they're never going to last. They're all going downhill. Downhill, everything, the nations all lose their, what Babylon was the sole, Nebuchadnezzar was the sole power. He answered to nobody except God. It all goes downhill from there, politics, power, etc. So, looking at that and understanding that a little bit in God's wonderful outworking, God's doing. So now, God, you're going to go, and in the process, over to Daniel, and in Daniel, if I can, maybe before Daniel, before that, well, yeah. Over to Isaiah, back over to Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 28. And remember, we're looking at what they knew. What would you know if you were living back then? You would have had the Bible up to, especially in the day of our Lord, the Old Testament. You would have had that. They could read the Old Testament, and Israel could know. Israel could know. They could have read earlier Jeremiah and Isaiah. They could have read and know what it says. So then knowing, they're knowing where it's going, and they knowing where it's going, and they don't have the detail especially, but they got enough details to know where it's going, so that in the light you can handle the darkness, foreboding, the ominousness of things. You can handle, that's what they knew. Isaiah chapter 28. And picking up, please. If I can, Isaiah 28, and picking up in verse 22. Now therefore, in fact, even before I do that, looking, if I can, here's Isaiah, the context for that. And in Isaiah chapter 28, you'll remember that the Israel, Judah, Jerusalem is the subject. If you note, Jerusalem is the subject in the process. And therefore, Isaiah is looking to the two kings in the south, the kings in the south, the two tribes, and he's telling them something that's going to happen. And in the process of telling them what's going to happen, in the process, remember the Assyrians are going to come in 722 and take the 10 tribes in the north. Later, 701, that, Hezekiah is down there, king, and the Assyrians are going to come to go after them. And Hezekiah, the people, were looking to Egypt to come as an ally to save them from the Assyrians. That's what they're looking for. So that's the context, a little. Now, Isaiah chapter 28. Picking up, if I can, in verse 15. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, and are in agreement. When the overflowing, that's the Assyrians coming, overflowing scourge shall pass through, if shall not come unto thee. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Now, so what are we doing? We're making a covenant with the wrong thing. We're looking for Egypt. We made it with hell and death. Wrong covenant, wrong way. We're trusting the system. The system is totally untrustworthy. So that's what they were doing. And Hezekiah, remember, prayed and all those wonderful things. Now, and they need to believe God, etc. Verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, God of, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, tried, proven, a precious stone, a foundation, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste, hurry, panic, not at all. Judgment will I lay up, the line, going to have a judgment, measurement, the righteousness of the plummet, the line, the measurement, plummet, and hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. In other words, Israel's trusting Egypt, trusting the system, trusting themselves, and it's not going to survive. Nebuchadnezzar is going to take the city. No matter how you cut the cookie, it's going to go. So therefore, their agreement with trying to be protected from the enemy and the problems. Verse 18. And your covenant with death and end. Your covenant with death shall be disannulled. Your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From that time that it goeth forth, it shall take you from morning by morning, and it shall pass over by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand this report. For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it. You are going to go and look to be safe and comfortable. The bed is too short, and the blanket is too small. The bed's too short, and the blanket to cover you is too small. You're going to look for safety, and there will be none whatsoever. Now, therefore, now we're ready, as it were. For verse 21, for the Lord shall rise up, as in Mount Perazim, when he had the Philistines, he let the Philistines beat the Israelites. I shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, when the Canaanites beat the Philistines, beat Israel. So the Philistines beat Israel, the Canaanites beat Israel. That he may do his work, his strange work, and to bring to pass his act, his strange act. What do you mean? That God would turn around, he's the God of Israel, and God is going to turn around and clobber Israel. That's what he's going to do. Why would God go after his own people? God's doing that. That's strange. You wouldn't think God would do that, but he is going to do that. And by the way, when he goes after Israel, here we are today, heading in tribulation. They're going to make a treaty with the Antichrist and all of that. Here we go down the corridor. And what else? Verse 28. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your band be made strong. Don't be stupid about this. Don't be a mocker. Don't be sitting there and making fun of it. Don't scoff at it. Don't scoff. Don't do it. Don't. For from the Lord he made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption. The word consumption is desolation. To bring to a complete end. To finish. Determined. I have a consumption. Destruction. Even determined, that little word, passive, to separate, to cut in pieces, to take a verb, to cut in pieces, division, to destroy something, to destroy it, to cut it in pieces, a consumption, destruction, a cutting in pieces upon the whole earth. It isn't just Israel. It's the whole world that's going to get it. The tribulation, going to get Israel. But when it gets Israel, it's going to get the whole world. The whole world is going to be in terrible, terrible trouble. The whole world will see it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so God is going to go in his awesome grace and do what he does. Chapter 24. Adding to that, these are things that they would know that we know. We know them. And it's all that we do know and can know that opens the door for what we need to know. One leads to the other. Therefore, chapter 24, God again, behold, verse 1, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. Wow. Now, and it's going to keep reading. All of this is going to happen, sliding down, verse 3. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken his word, this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and the fadeth away. The haughty people, proud people of the earth, do languish. Point, verse 5. The earth also is defiled unto the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. That's what they did. And people are looking for the green and all of that stuff, which isn't the trees, got to save the whales, got to save the oxygen and everything in the atmosphere and all of that. And we've shared that from way back when we started. That's never going to be the problem. The world is going to be in trouble. It isn't going to be become the environment. So don't even think about the environment, and don't even do it, you know. You had all those good people that pay attention to the statistics and mathematics. In 80 years, you hear from the guy from Sweden or something, 80 years, it will rise 0.109% degrees, or something like that. Do you know what that is? Your outside temperature now could go from 77 to 78. In 80 years, the average temperature will never get to a degree difference. Now, I think we're pretty safe on planet Earth. I do. So don't get, but it's money. Money and power and control. That's what you got. Money, power, control. Now, point. In verse 24. They have broken the everlasting covenant. What has the human society done as we come down to the end? They have broken the Noahic covenant. God said, I'll never flood the earth again. I'll never flood it. And I'm going to put a rainbow in the sky so that you know I'm not going to flood. You know I'm not going to do that. I've given you space all of these centuries from Noah all the way to where we are, lots of years, you've given us. And you've broken the covenant I made. I told you I wouldn't flood. But the day is coming. You have broken and violated. You've pushed it to the nth degree. It's no more. You've broken that covenant. You've broken your relationship to God. You've broken and made the land vile and defiled. Therefore, verse 36, the curse devoureth the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Wow. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth. All the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of the tabrets ceaseth. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceaseth. When things are bad, bad, it's awful hard to have a party. It's awful hard to have fun when things are bad, bad, bad. They're just bad. They're going to get bad, bad. So therefore, in verse 9, they shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up that no man may come in. Now, so it's an awesome time God's going to have. An awesome time is going to happen in an awesome way. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if I can to Isaiah in chapter 65. Now God tells, remember this, the light, look at the darkness in the light so you can see and understand what's happening. All of this is going to happen. Going to get where it's going. So we know all these things. We just know them. We're to understand what's going to happen without even going to Revelation. So therefore, Isaiah, and in chapter 65, picking up if I can, in verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, Now come into mind. Wow, I'm going to create a new heaven, new earth, like in Revelation 21. That's what I'm going to do. That what if I lived back then, if I just had the Bible, I didn't know anything else. I know he's going to create a new heavens, chapter 66. In chapter 66 and in verse 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. So God's wonderful, wonderful promise of an awesome and awesome, wonderful, wonderful future is there in a most wonderful way. Now, so here's all the inhabitants are going to be scattered all over. Now, and so add to that, so you can have it as a piece of information, God is going to go, they've broken the covenant, and over to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus in chapter 18. And picking up, if I can, Leviticus chapter 18, picking up, please, in verse 21. And Noah, this is our country in particular. All countries have got problems, but our country in particular. Now, verse 21. And verse 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch. That means you're going to have children sacrificed. Neither shall thou profane the name of my God. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou be with any beast, animal, anyway, to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out from before you. So, verse 9:25, the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. We said that the other day to remind yourself. God, the land will only let people live in it, as it were, as if it was alive. The land says, I don't want the people living in my, above me, doing what they're doing. Verse 26. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For, verse 27, all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. Verse 28, and that the land spew not you out also. In other words, the land doesn't want Israel on it either. When you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you, Babylon, all of them, Egypt and Syria and all of them, all through history, they're there, they disappear. And here we are in our country. And our country is, I don't think there's another country that's quite as bad as we are, because a little group of people, small percentage, are aggressive, powerful, doing what they're doing. And the best of the system isn't hardly doing anything except looking and seeing it and having to handle it wrongly, fixing it. And so they have the sexual things, transsexual, all of it, and all of that pressure. The crime in the streets, all of it is to what? Build power, control. For what? So that people can be accepted and honored, you see. We used to have them here. People came in back in those days, and we had a whole row sitting back there with a whole row of them that came in. And in the process, and they, I told you all these things anyway. They wanted to use the men's bathroom, the men wanted to use the ladies' bathroom. And I said, nothing doing. You can't use the ladies' bathroom. You can't do it. I'll get arrested today. But you can't do it. You can't use the ladies' bathroom. And who said it? I said, what? And I spoke on it. I spoke on the subject. I said, there's no way you're going to get it's wrong. And of course, we didn't see them again. I don't see them. You can't do it. Power. And all the system is using all of these things for power. And they have it. There's a handful of people. There's no nation on earth that is as bad as we are. There's nations, I shared that this morning or something, Sunday school, whatever. There's no nation that would allow the transsexuals and all of that. They'd put them in a camp in Cuba or something, or kill them. Muslims would kill them. I'm pretty sure. But kill them. That's why they can't do it. We're pushing it. We're pushing the limit. Where is it going to end? How is it going to stop? That the land will vomit up. And that's why America has to go downhill, because Israel was counting on us as their ally to protect them. And Israel isn't counting on us anymore. They're not counting on us. They're going to have to count on themselves and somebody else, ultimately Europe, the 10 nations, because we're out of the picture. God has allowed this to happen, and it's happening, to destroy America. America has to be not to be reckoned with in the light of the global powers that are going to take place. A bunch down the tubes. Now, there's a lot on it, but you got the idea so far. We have a lot. We're knowing. We know a lot of stuff. We certainly do. And therefore, knowing a lot, we need to look to God to help us in every way to be able to go and take us. So Peter and James and Paul lived in the New Testament. They had a wonderful, wonderful sense of understanding God's word, and God was there in a most wonderful way for them. And therefore, all of them lived and got the New Testament. And you have all of the wonderful truths on resurrection and all those great truths, chapters on resurrection, 1 Corinthians, apostasy that we're living in, back in the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and Jude and 2nd Peter, all of that, we got that. It's all, we all got it back then, and here we are living in it. But when we come to Revelation, John is the last living apostle. And John's looking at it, the whole picture. God is using John's eyes and mind. He sees the whole thing. And he's going to put it together in a most awesome way for us. And you'll have to think about it. You know it probably already, but then you don't know it. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so if we can go over, if I can, to Revelation and chapter 1. And in Revelation and chapter 1, picking up, please, in thought, and in Revelation chapter 1, picking up, please, and you'll notice God is going to go and having all this. So they have, we have all this wonderful information in the New Testament. All of it's there in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So when John's writing this, time and time were closer. Back then, it was at any, all of it was going to take place. And it was in the process. John is going to be the last living apostle. The church is going to be by 100 AD in John's writing, Revelation. It starts downhill, 300 AD and downhill, and the great Church of Rome and all of that, all of the corrupted. Corrupted what? His church. Where's his? We had a lot of our churches, but where's his? It corrupted the whole thing. So that's, it isn't gone downhill. Now, having said that, and therefore, they're there. These are written, chapter 1 and in verse 19. Write, command, write the things, 1 and 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. I want you to write down all that's going to happen. I want you to write it down. Hereafter, hereafter, these things, and we're going to look at that now. So after this, so here's God, Revelation 2 and 3, all about church history, how the church is going to go. And the church is going to go in such a way that it goes downhill. Revelation chapter 2, about the church in Ephesus, verse 4, they lost their first love. But we watch history work itself out. And we come to Revelation chapter 3 and Laodicea. And what do I do? Verse 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, that's the church. Think of Rome, the great Roman church system and Sistine Chapel and all those things. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Your condition's horrible. That's the church we're living in. The churches are not in good condition. And so when you say there isn't much going on biblically, Bible-wise, I know, because you're at the end, at the end. So having said that, and keeping that in mind, as we're at the end, and so God, we're looking. Now, what else do we need to know as we do this? Over to Daniel, and Daniel chapter 12. And in Daniel chapter 12, picking up, if I can, in verse 4, we were there last time, I think, a little bit, on the word end. Remember, there's two words, end, E-N-D. One means end, put a period, and continue the next sentence. The other is put a period, and there's no more sentences. When you come to Revelation 21, period. There's no more. John, chapter 10, goes to chapter 11. Now, but Daniel, chapter 12, verse 4. But thou, Daniel, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. There's going to be a lot of panic, a lot of looking, a lot of searching out, a lot of everything going on. Seal the book. Seal the book. So all the wonderful prophecy, 12 chapters, of all the things we want to understand in more detail, we don't have them. We only have so much. Revelation, Daniel 11, the great battle going on, going to happen. Wow. We'd like the Antichrist, we know a lot. Daniel chapter 9, 27, we know a lot, but we don't know everything. Seal it up. So if I don't go past Daniel, I'm sort of stuck. because I have the information, but I don't have all the little pieces or pieces that I'd like to have. And therefore, chapter 12, verse 13, to Daniel, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of thy days. Daniel, you're going to have to be content in not knowing. You're going to die, and you're not going to know. So you just finish the job that you have, your assignment. Daniel, loved of God, and finish it. That's what he's going to do. And Israel, and the wonderful things you know, you can know, are the things you can't know. Over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 29. Deuteronomy and chapter 29. And may I pick up, please, the thought. Here's Moses going to end before they cross the Jordan River. He's going to die. And he reminds them, chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord your God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever. Why? That we may do all the words of this law. Now, all the wonderful truths I gave you, we've looked at some of them, how things are going to go, you have them. There's others that you don't have. So God keeps some. Then seal the book. You're not supposed to know it now. So here we are in that place. Now, having said that, and go to Acts chapter 1 and see it again. Remember the day of Pentecost was coming, and Israel was there, and the disciples wanted to know after his resurrection. Acts chapter 2 hadn't happened. But in Acts chapter 1, they're looking to the Lord, the disciples, the apostles. And therefore, Acts 1, picking up, please, in verse 6, 1:6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times, duration, or the seasons, the conditions, the character of the conditions, which the Father hath put in his own hand. You aren't to know it yet. Now, Pentecost is going to change that, Acts chapter 2. They're going to have a wonderful, wonderful understanding to be able to start understanding. So, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, picking up, if I may, and chapter 5, verse 1. But, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Acts 1, 7. You ought to know the times and seasons. God has kept some of it back, so you don't know it yet. But you do know enough. You do know enough. And remember chapter 4 of Thessalonians? He just got through telling them at any moment the Lord was going to take them up. So then chapter 5, that looking, God's going to take them up. And verse 2, and for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord... Day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in the darkness, but that day should overtake you as a thief. You know, so we're walking in the light. God help us to be able to be ominous also times, bad times, foreboding times. Verse 5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. You are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Why? For they, verse 7, they sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and an helmet, the hope of salvation, because God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. God has done a wonderful thing to save us. And he just got through telling them, the Lord's going to come at any moment. In the meantime, you ought to be able to read and understand what's happening in a most wonderful way. And this is the first place it's mentioned in Thessalonians of his coming. Remember, the Gospel of John isn't written yet, so they didn't have that. They didn't have the Gospel of John. They just had Thessalonians. That's what they had. And so they're told, God's coming. He's coming at any moment. Wow. So that doesn't mean that John wasn't written then. Doesn't mean they didn't know. The apostles, Peter, James, and John, and Luke, all of them, they all knew this stuff, just knew it in their head. So you couldn't be with them without learning all kinds of stuff. But it wasn't put in writing till each one came along in order. Now, so having said that, looking for our Lord's return, and looking for that blessed hope, that wonderful, wonderful hope, that God is going to go and help us, and we've got to quit, because God, it's time. So, to quit. Gotta quit. Anyway, we got started. I was going to take you there. This is my little parchment book. I was going to have to see. This is actually real parchment. Parchment. The whole book is. This meant bark. This, I can't give you a head. I don't need to. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. Now, God and Father, I hope you got a little. God help us as we try to get a little bit. Thank you very, very, very much to understand, God, we're to be knowing so that we can know. Knowing the first part, knowing the things we should know, to be know the other things that make it help us, that help us to understand that which we don't know. And our God, the deep, awesome things that are going to happen. God, you protected the disciples in the garden from knowing what you did as you faced the cross. And God, you're going to protect us from the wrath to come in the tribulation. And therefore, God, we look to you with thanksgiving. God, thank you. Even so, come. Thank you very much for what we know and don't know, and all that we will know. In Christ's name, amen.